It's Dieter and Jake, and we made it through the season. Hooray us. Hooray, everybody. And now the real work begins, my friend.
Yeah, there's like a really terrible meme that's like only for people who do draft stuff. That's like, yeah. Honey, the season's over. You can relax now. And it's like, this is when the real work begins.
I'll be in my dungeon, maiden.
I'll be in my cave watching cut-ups of William and Mary. And because they've got a nose guard I really like. He's not good, but there's something about him.
I think he's the sixth round defensive tackle this team really needs to get over the hump, baby.
He could
where are you going? Runner. Why are you leaving me?
Hey, folks.
The season broke me. It broke me.
It did. I watched it happen.
We saw that happen in real time because we saw everything. A lot of people get on us for being pessimistic, or they got on us, and then they saw the wisdom of our ways, Jake. And here we are talking about a team that turned in something. I'm not sure what the hell that was in week 18.
I mean, let's be real here, folks. No one in at that game was locked in. not a single person covering, watching, participating on the sidelines. Everyone was going 70% at the most.
Yeah. So. And you know what? Can't blame anybody. And it worked out wonderfully. Worked out wonderfully because people who need to get fired didn't do anything to save their jobs. The draft pick was secured. They are officially a bottom third team in the NFL. Congratulations.
Officially worse than the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. The Dallas Cowboys, who didn't have Dak Prescott for more than half the season, basically didn't have any defense whatsoever and had no NFL caliber running backs until Rico Dowdle had three nice games late in the season for no good reason.
To the 49ers' credit, and I'm not actually giving them credit, they did have the strongest strength of schedule in the NFL this season.
Yeah, well, that ain't gonna be the case anymore.
No. Here's the thing. If you want optimism, here's the optimism. 49ers were so bad this year that they get a fourth-place schedule that, regardless of how much some of those teams improve, it's going to be substantially miles easier than what they had this year. That's just the reality of it. Number two. Yeah. It will be. It just will be. Like, there's a way it sets up where it can be tough, no question. But, like, I can't fathom a world in which this year's schedule.
You want me to lay it on you? I can lay on the schedule. You ready?
Well, yeah. You pull up the schedule real quick.
I got it. I'm looking at it.
All right.
I mean, you can continue.
No, the only other point I was going to make is that they now have the 11th overall pick and are projected to have 10 picks, four in the top 100, six in the top 140-ish.
That's got to have it. And 11 might be a really nice position to move down from a little bit. Add a little something into the kettle. Home schedule next year, obviously the three division rivals, the Atlanta Falcons and Michael Penix, who was slanging that thing, the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young, who was slanging that thing, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
The Tennessee Titans. And we get the Chicago Bears back at home. Here are the road trips for next year outside of the division rivals. Cleveland, Houston, Indianapolis, New Orleans, the New York Football Giants, and the Turf, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Though the turf might be improved in MetLife Stadium.
Is that right? Well, they're going to start using coconut shells?
I wish. They might have to get something in there before the World Cup, and I know that the World Cup is summer 26.
Well, I mean, they refuse to play on anything other than grass, which is awesome that soccer players like can just have that in their contracts that they won't play on anything but grass, and the NFL is like, sorry to your knees, we don't care. Some owners are cheap. That's their right.
Well, I think Messi has that in his contract because he's bigger than the entirety of the Ponzi scheme that is MLS, but we digress. Though this is now an MLS podcast. We're going to get really into the Quakes, baby. Yeah, the schedule.
No, we're not.
We're not.
To be clear.
That's it. Next year's schedule won't mean anything if they don't address what needs to be done. What needs to be done? This sounds like an ultimatum.
It does sound like you're putting somebody out to pasture, and you're like, you have to have the the goal.
Is this a parable? Is this a line?
Sounds like a Cormac Sopranos? McCarthy line.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, we have nothing but time. We've literally spent weeks talking about all of the problems on this team. Let's get into some of the nitty gritty. Honest evaluation of Dobbs. It's not good enough to even be a backup quarterback. If that's your backup quarterback next year, I mean, he's better than Allen, but if that's your backup quarterback next year, you took the default. You took the easy route.
Oh, by the way, the broadcast, like I don't mean to just rip on a broadcast, but they're like, Josh Dobbs is making a case for his backup job. And then immediately,
like how a public defender makes a case in court that gets his person thrown in jail. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I think he actually fumbled immediately after that.
He did. He fumbled immediately after. He had two interceptions and a fumble. All three of them were 100% on him. And yeah, there was a little bit of spark. There was a little bit. It was Josh Dobbs. That was the definitive Josh Dobbs performance. And he's going to lose you games.
People were, you know, clamoring for Dobbs, and I get it, because it's like Brandon Allen is just...
Dobbs over whom?
Brandon Allen. Okay. You know, that was back when that was happening. So that's a different discussion. But the thing with Dobbs is always it's just a roulette spin. And sometimes, you know, he gets lightning in a bottle. Clearly, the game plan was for him to get his old Tennessee buddy, Juwan Jennings, to 1,000 yards. And then Juwan was like, well, I'm going to block people into the earth, and they're going to get really mad. And so I won't have a chance to pass
everyone's frustration on the season on Murphy Bunting.
He didn't even throw a punch. They just got pissed.
Well,
and
I don't,
because of it,
I do not blame the referees for throwing Juwan Jennings out of that
either.
Game
I don't
all.
Either. But like letter of the law, like I don't actually think he should have been tossed. But I
letter
get
of the
why
law
you have
is
to
you got
to
get
it.
The fuck out of here, buddy. You are making our lives way harder. Plus, this official just blew out his knee, Isaac Garendo style.
Oh, come on.
There was to go to the broadcast. Listen, when you get the name wrong. When you get the name wrong of the ref who got injured, his name was Alex Moore. Don't say Jeff Seaman 30 times in a row.
They also said that Darius Robinson got a sack, and then like the camera like did a slow pan in the back of Okwara's jersey, and they kept saying it. And I was like, bro, come on. Come on, guys. So, look at the monitor.
They were like, oh, the injured referee is Jeff Seaman. And I'm like, oh, this couldn't get any better. And then they're like, actually, that's wrong. Jeff Seaman, Jeff Seaman, Jeff Seaman. And I'm like, you're going to get me demonetized on YouTube because it was good. Juwan Jennings, natural psychotic person, lost his mind during a football game. God bless him. Schlereth had a boner. He was like, this is my favorite football player ever. It's like, dude, you're on the
I get it.
But you're on the ninth Fox squad, and it's like, yeah, you don't see this shit in Carolina when you get to play.
This is, by the way, what the Vikings said last year when they're
losing my mind.
Kellen Mond. That's a Kellen Mond reference.
Hey now. Anyone want to sign Sam Darnold anymore? Anyone? Anyone? Bitters? Bitters?
Okay, this is another broadcast thing. Chris Collinsworth talking about. He's like, well, Justin Jefferson. Yeah. I was practicing my Collinsworth. Al, this guy is incredible.
This guy. Oh, man. This guy.
Al, let me tell you.
Does he remind you of Patrick Mahomes?
It's not even Al. It's Mike Tirico. But, God. The best one. He's like, Al, I can't do it.
It'd be even better if he called him Al.
He's like,
shut up, Paul Simon.
Jared Goff is becoming a superstar in front of our eyes. And it's like
he's in his 10th year in the league.
What are we talking about? He's just like Jared Goff we know what Jared Goff is. Calling him a superstar this late in his career when he's like, been good, been what he is when he's not pressured, is just awesome.
Man's so, played in a Super Bowl.
Almost threw a pick six that fundamentally changed the game.
Yeah, Sam Darnold went out here and had his worst game of the year, and Jared Goff's like, I win games where I throw five interceptions. We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out about each other right here and now. Detroit really needed that bye week. They are banged up. Who do you have in the NFC? I mean, like I not to totally digress, we'll get back to Niners, but like,
yeah,
with the way that Detroit looked, and shouts to Aaron Glenn, he had that defense humming today, but like, we've seen that defense. It's not good anymore. The Vikings, with whatever that was from Darnold, maybe it's out of his system now, but it's always going to be lingering there. I don't know. You know, I'd presume that Watson is done for the playoffs in Green Bay. That's kind of a big deal for them. Obviously, Love has the injury. The Rams are not impressive. The Commanders are...
The Rams are just dumb enough to, like, channel lightning in a bottle and knock off, you know, one of these. It's going to be the Vikings. Vikings,
are we taking
Rams,
the right? Buccaneers? Are we taking the Buccaneers with one of the worst defenses in football? Is that what we're doing?
No, we're not. No, we're not. By the way, go back to when we did our preseason predictions. We were so fucking wrong on the Titans.
Couldn't have been more wrong.
Literally, I really ignored the Will Levis of it all. Will Levis is hilariously bad at playing quarterback. I grossly underestimated that. I still thought their roster was a little better than that. They could not overcome it. It was not good.
They have a legitimately terrible coach.
I can't disagree with that. I also can't pretend I've watched a lot of the Titans. When I have, has not looked good.
Haven't they been watching the coconut shell?
Yeah, they were in a lot of close games, and then just like fourth quarter, they're like, you can.
Yes, no.
It's fine.
Devondre Sweat was a badass. Jeffrey Simmons might be the best interior defensive line in football. How can you get the first pick?
It's awesome.
I'd hope they'd trade down. I mean, we were actually texting about this before we came on. Like, it's... We have not done the deep dive yet, but this is an objectively bad quarterback class. Here's how I know it's a bad quarterback class.
In a lot of other spots, but yeah.
I heard someone say that Drew Aller, the Penn State quarterback, would be the first quarterback taken off the board. And I'm like, that Drew Aller? The one who doesn't move? Like, they're like, Nussmeier down at LSU.
Don't talk to me about Garrett Nussmeier.
Like, the guy who doesn't leave the pocket in the era of dual threats, like, we're going to go with him?
You know it's an absolutely terrible quarterback class? So every week I would see, like, you know, somebody talking about Jackson Dart. And then I go watch Ole Miss and he throws, like
Jackson Dart. But, yeah, he's a wild.
But I watched him throw, like, four interceptions in a row and, like, going into overtime.
It was brutal.
It was insane. If anyone hasn't seen that, go look it up. That's like all I've seen of Jackson Dart. And then the rest of these guys, you watch them and it's just like throwing meatballs across the cafeteria.
I mean, Philly might be the best bet, and Philly has Nick Sirianni as their head coach, who's going to get fired if they go one and done.
Like, and they're just like, I just don't believe in them. I don't believe in Hurts. I don't believe in their offense. Kellen Moore, I'm not sold on that. The Rams, I can't see them winning the Super Bowl.
I think that JNR here, JR, is accurate in that people are overlooking them. That doesn't mean that we have to give them any deference, though.
Well,
everyone's like, oh, then the Rams. But like Matt Stafford, it ain't there anymore. And
they're just like, there's like Puka God.
It's starting a Kella Witherspoon. Like, what are we doing here?
It's awesome.
Shula's a great defensive coordinator, though. If there's a dark horse on who should get a job, give it to Shula. He's awesome. All right, let's go through some stuff. I didn't even give
my take. I think
apologies.
Wait, how bad is the Love thing? I haven't been keeping tabs on.
I mean, it might be the thing that it might be like a reverse Henry Baumgartner, where he now no longer throws ridiculous interceptions anymore because he's having to guard against his arm. Maybe this is the best thing for him. Take away about 10% of his power, get more movement on the fastball, you know?
If I had to put money on it, I kind of still think it's the Lions.
That's crazy.
I know.
That the rest of the pack came back to them. I think it's a fair bet.
Like, it's the bye week and the fact that, I don't know, you know, their defense is chaotic. It's not good, but that offense is still so goddamn explosive. But again, if you put enough pressure on Goff, he just crumbles. So,
yeah,
I don't feel good about it.
I don't
feel good about anyone.
My stance from preseason, Kansas City, Green Bay, I feel no confidence in the Packers. I feel like Buffalo's the best team in the AFC, but
does Buffalo actually like do it this year? Do they actually not get chiefed?
No.
They're going to get chiefed
because they're the Buffalo Bills and they can't do it. Like I am one of these guys. Shout out to Josh Pate. Like, he's a big thing. Just because they haven't done it doesn't mean they can't do it. Like, that's like, I'm very much a believer in that. Like, the infrastructure's there, the system is there, but like the Buffalo Bills, they can't do it. Like, it's just, it can't happen. It won't happen. But we'll be talking about it. I'm looking forward.
Is it the lake effect?
The lake effect. Well, they're not going to have to play. They'll be in Kansas City. They'll be in Kansas City
right.
for the AFC Championship game. Can we just skip ahead to that? That'd be good.
Yeah. Well, and then everybody feeling sick to their stomach over the way it ends, and Josh Allen playing like the greatest game of all time, and Kansas City wins because of some absolute bullshit Mahomes Kelsey nonsense. I'm okay. Here's my take. Not enough people are hating Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying I have disdain for the man, but it's getting to Brady territory where it's so consistent. It's no longer this cool, novel thing. It's like, let's see somebody else. It's like cool to beat them. So like, stop. Like the announcers like reveling in the glory of Mahomes. Clearly, he's like gonna like rival Tom Brady for the greatest quarterback of all time. That's just where this thing is headed. That's obvious. Brady was exhausting and ground the NFL into a pulp for 20 years. And as somebody who witnessed that, I don't want to see it again. Like, just mix it up. That's where I'm at. Anyway.
Going with Jordan Love. I mean, I still think the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, but I'm going to stick with what I got. So not having Watson sucks. I wrote this a couple weeks back. Like, the most frustrating part about this Niner season might be that there's no obvious great team outside of Buffalo.
Oh, is it? Are the Ravens going to like blow it to the Texans? Isn't that the matchup?
Oh, that sounds.
Oh, no. The Ravens play the Steelers.
Oh, that sounds even more right.
Texans Chargers is going to be a 20, whatever the over it, whatever the line is on that
game. Is that the Amazon Prime game? Because there's never been a playoff game on a Thursday, but that one needs to be on Thursday night football.
One, whatever, I'm going to set the total at 30 points for that game.
Chargers and one more time. Chargers and
Texans.
Oh, I can't believe the Texans made it. They played like butthole all year.
Yeah, their offensive line's a nightmare. I still believe in CJ Stroud, but apparently they didn't love what Slowick was doing down there.
I'm stunned. Refuses to run gap scheme. Wasn't as bad as Atlanta.
But... No. That was it. Yeah, that was,
I know that was Atlanta. But like, you also watch Houston, and it's like, okay, you've run through all the Kyle stuff. Do you have anything else? And he's like, what about the Kyle stuff? We still got the Kyle stuff.
Like, these teams all suck. Again, that's my take.
That's kind of the frustrating part when you're the Niners. You're like, man, the bar was so low, and you didn't even come close.
They didn't come within
2 months. You went full. Like, it's one thing when you're the San Francisco Giants and you're in a division with like the Padres and of course the Dodgers, and like the Diamondbacks are having a good couple years, and like it's a National League where you're like, oh, there's some pretty good teams in here, right? Phillies, and
right,
Mets and all. It's a whole other thing when you're the Niners and you come in and you're like, these fucking guys? And then they, you know, when the Giants, they at least get you to September 1.
Ooh.
And it fades. And then, you know, what did the 49ers do? They got us to like, they didn't even get to Thanksgiving.
Wait, so would we get, if the Commanders won,
yeah,
I guess they would face the Lions.
Yeah.
That would be a fun one.
It reseeds.
That would be a fun one.
It recedes.
That'd be a fun one.
Because of the one.
I don't really believe in the Commanders because they're a mess.
You know, they do a lot of chaos.
Right. They're fun chaos. The game is always in the balance and they do some absolute nonsense.
Did you see what Tyreek Hill said?
What did that man say? He usually says,
quote,
I'm out. Normal thing.
I'm out. He can't do it. It's bad for his career, apparently, to be with the Miami Dolphins. This man, I was going through the contract. Nope, he's going to be a Dolphin next year. No two ways about it.
He wanted out of the Dolphins organization?
He wants out. He can't do it anymore. It's not good for his career. To which the Dolphins can promptly say, actually, you seem to be the problem here, Tyreek.
We paid you so much money.
Yeah, right. And he has another year of pretty serious ramifications on the books. So let's put the Tyreek Hill to San Francisco rumors to bed. That dude ain't going anywhere, and that's the last
dude. Yeah.
That's the last guy you want to bring in to a team that's right on the edge. You know, more Conleys, fewer Hills. I understand that there is a dramatic difference in talent. I get it. You got to hold this thing. You got to be able to go to sleep at night knowing that you put a decent group of men on the field. And I do think this popped in my head the other day because the Raiders, unsurprisingly, everyone knew this was going to happen. And obviously the Henry Ruggs situation, the biggest one. But like the Raiders, they can't stop getting DUIs. It's just their favorite thing to do. It's their number one recreation in Las Vegas is just getting DUIs. And there was a time, now kind of a minute ago, but not that long ago in the scope of a franchise, where the 49ers simply could not stop people from getting arrested on their team. It was all the time. It was incessant.
It's hard to build that up and like build an actual quote unquote culture. And you're like, oh, this is nonsense. And then you actually see the difference. And you're like, oh, this is actually a very precarious orchestrated thing that you have to sustain.
And listen, I understand that you got to take some risks on some dudes who aren't all the way there, but you know, make sure they're not all the way there on a football field as opposed to in general in life.
Right.
Now, that said, if Tyreek Hill wants to bring along the plus size model who can apparently block like a son bitch, the Niners can use her. So remember the reference? You remember the reference at all?
Of course I do.
Okay, thank
you. Of course
you.
I do.
Thank you. You
bring her. Of course I remember the lawsuit where like he got stuffed. Was she a stripper? It was just a large
plus size Instagram influencer.
Right.
A buxom guy.
That's how you know we're at the end. I'm not talking about football. I'm just talking about the end of a plus size Instagram influencer is a
she
very
filled
bleak
up the full
board.
Square. And God bless her. Hey, it was very good for business. You make one good block, you can become a star.
So it's a week. It's a week playoffs this year, folks. This guy, Jared Goff.
Do you want to talk about anything that happened in this goddamn 49ers?
Yes. I mean, listen, I was. To try and watch this game with the same level of intensity, it's just impossible. I thought it's brutal. Isaac Garendo got hurt. We'll see if that, ideally for him, that's an MCL sprain, not a tear.
It seemed heavy.
We'll see. It didn't seem great. Did not seem great that he was like crying on the cart and screaming and immediately ruled out. And
I got the surround sound going and I boost up the center channel. So you get a lot of the on field audio because sometimes you can hear some interesting stuff. And what I heard were bone rattling screams immediately. So that was super not fun. Good. That was like, hey, let's go watch a football game. Oh, my God.
Not ideal.
Hit with the immediate reality of the sport itself.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go well.
No, I don't think either. Real quick. Thank you, Tommy. I don't know what the Wonder Bread part of this is for.
I think he's just a super white guy. Plain white guy.
That's fair enough.
I do like how he kind of mixed it up a little bit today and gave up 47 points. He was not working with a lot.
I'm not going to glean much from this game, but it didn't help his case. And again, my point is that I give a lot of deference. I feel that Kyle wants to keep things simple on that end. But at some point, if you don't have the dudes and you're trying to keep it simple and that's not working, you got to come up with solutions. And if you're not creative enough in doing so and the results aren't there, like you haven't proven that you're worth keeping around, and if what there are better options, I think the 49ers would be foolish not to look at them.
Very simply, what is the argument for keeping Nick Sorensen for next year other than, oh, did he get a fair shot?
They would probably
welcome to the NFL. You got to make do with what you have.
I guess they would argue lack of personnel.
But like, that's not an argument, because the argument could be, well, actually, we really liked a lot of the things that he did, but his players couldn't execute it. But I did not find that to be the case. Like, I didn't find him to be presenting anything that was
it's
insanity doing. I think the real argument,
is that a lack of personnel, injuries, all that. It doesn't allow you to run the scheme effectively. And if that's what Shanahan's edict is to like keep it straightforward and how they've been running it, it's a front office issue rather than a coaching issue, I think is how they might counter that. I'm not saying that's the right call. I think the NFL is evolving and the 49ers have not adapted schematically. And even if you bring in better pieces, we should still evolve. I think the wide nine needs reevaluation. I think they need to play more man coverage with their corners. Mm-hmm. I think their disguises are pretty. They run like stuff with Fred Warner, and that's about it.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Very rare.
We're gonna flash a gap like we're Mike Zimmer in 2016. Like
it's only a gap. They never copy. They run like two. I feel like they run like three blitzes. They run like a stunt, you know, where they'll wrap Warner on a stunt. They'll send Demo as one of them, that like shark blitz that they used to run with K-1.
That's right.
And occasionally they'll just like send a few. Occasionally
they'll do an 8-man line.
Yeah, but like they should be doing like out. look at how difficult it is. The Vikings have a lot of great personnel, but like, look at how difficult it is. They just challenge you in so many ways.
Totally.
Like, they just make you account for, I don't know what goddamn coverage this is.
Well, it's the way I've been phrasing it is, think about how bold and futuristic Kyle's offense was when he was just using motion 75% of the time. And everyone's like, they can't get a read on this guy. You don't know what he's going to do because he's running motion. And he's versatile. And now that's just par for the course. If you don't run motion, like what the hell? At this point, if you're not running motion, you have a damn good reason, because it's such an obvious cheat code. Well, defenses are looking at this and going, well, we don't have illegal formations or illegal shifts on defense. We could stand anyone we want, anywhere we want, and move them however we want at any point. So why don't we just do that? Like, why don't we use motion against them? And the defensive coordinators that have done that, and by the way, much tougher to coach that, the ones that have done that and have coached it effectively have the upper hand, especially in a league that has formally shifted to cover two as opposed to the single high safety, which I think is a byproduct of many things. Pass happy, the rules. I think the college game not producing quality corners is another reason.
I mean, the college game is produced. I mean, there's been a lot of good young corners here,
but you don't get them. You don't see. And Kyle has talked to us about this a dozen times now, because it seems like you or I bring it up every year. How difficult is it to evaluate corners from the college level? And he's like, it's immense, unless you're at Ohio State, where they'll actually play press man.
Which, right,
by the way, they don't really do anymore. So like, everyone is just playing loose quarters. Don't get over the top on us. And it's kind of hard to develop a single high safety at the college level when no one's ever in a single high safety set.
Yeah.
So that's my stance on it. And the fact that Nick Sorensen was second to last in blitz percentage and 27th in overall pressures this year is unconscionable. You have Nick Bosa on your team. You signed Leonard Floyd, who
he was
I don't
out
think
for a while, but yeah.
No, I get it. But like, you had some dudes. And if you think that you don't have the dudes, then bring some more dudes. You mentioned the wide nine. I don't know if I'm down on the wide nine specifically, but I am down on the wide nine with the personnel that you have, which is nobody in the interior who can hold the gap. Full stop. Cannot hold the gap, much less two. And then a linebacker situation where it's just one guy. And it's very easy when you don't have to worry about the defensive tackles holding.
I mean, Warner got his ass kicked and worn down because they didn't have to account for anyone else making a play, so they just attacked him. Yep. That's not a criticism of Warner so much as it is like, all right, there's one guy to account for. He down the stretch, second half of the season, was not impressive. He missed a lot. Like, he got beat by McBride on that touchdown.
Yeah.
But again, he's like playing hurt. He's been attacked all season long.
Yeah.
It's tough when he was playing like all world football for like five games.
3 games, right? And then
and then he fractured his ankle. There's it was 4 or 5.
But he was playing all world because it was all on him, and he was doing it right. Like he was absolutely laying the wood in those circumstances, and that's why it stood out so much. He's had good games this year beyond the ankle injury. It just hasn't stood out as much because it hasn't been perfect, and it hasn't been him every.
And there are a lot of times he's in coverage where, you know, he doesn't show up, and he's like carrying a post where he's basically playing safety. He literally does play safety a lot.
Yeah, it's a remnant of the Steve Wilkes era. But when you want to play single high, then someone else has to typically carry the seam. And guess who it's going to be? It's probably going to be Fred because he can at least recognize it. By the way, D. Winters, I'm good with not seeing him again. He's awful. He's awful. I can't do it. I can't watch this guy. He's making Devondre Campbell look like a big loss. This guy's brutal. He's not the answer at weak side linebacker. And they need a linebacker. They need
a lot of pieces, and I'm not sure that they can. Like, it used to be, all right, you need a few more pieces or whatever to fix something. This is a good question. What's a bigger need, defensive tackle or O-line?
I don't think there's any question here. It's got to be defensive tackle.
I agree.
Like, the entire defense fundamentally changed in that first half against the Rams because you had two great linebackers on the field at the same time. And it, now suddenly everybody was working. Okay, you're going to have a really hard time finding another great linebacker. Unless Dre comes back and is that guy and you can trust him to play 12 games. So, and I think he'll come back, right? I think that there's an agreement in place. Otherwise, they wouldn't have shut him. There's a whole thing. And we might find out tomorrow. But you get yourself someone who can hold the damn gap, DeForest Buckner style, on the interior, and everything changes. Because when you are so easily beaten on the interior,
they're unserious. Like, they just
the whole thing falls apart, right?
And when you can actually hold up, slow them down, prevent the run game from demolishing you, it wears. I don't think people understand just how physically, mentally taxing it is when you're Fred Warner or anyone on that defense, and you're just watching the defensive tackles get double teamed and sent into oblivion, just disappear off the face of the earth, and then everyone's trying to funnel in, and people might fill really quickly, and it's still a 6-yard gain. And then there's another.
It's just too big of a space to fill.
Right.
And they're not a great filling team.
And so when that happens and you get worn down on, that's when, like, it's harder because you're reading run and then the play action works better and you're just exhausted and physically it's wearing on you. They just, until they get some sort of physical presence, a sort of all, like, they don't need Eric Armstead. You know, I was critical of him, but he was like an all-around defensive tackle.
He could play his gap.
And he had the size to hold up against bigger dudes. And there have been moments for all of their defensive tackles at times, but there has not been any consistency from any of them. And I know some people really like Evan Anderson, but I see a lot of times where he gets turned around and he doesn't have the athleticism. He simply doesn't. Like, sometimes he's got the force and weird quickness to, like, make a really impressive play, and I won't deny that at all.
Very strange punchiness to him, yeah.
Right. And he can make some good plays. But
he's
like,
an NFL player. He's a rotation depth piece. If you're pinning,
it's not the answer.
If you're pinning your run defense on Evan Anderson, you don't have a run defense. By the way, the same can be said of Jordan Elliott. The same can be said of Malik Collins. The same can be said of Kevin Givens. They have a lot of second stringers and not a single first stringer at defensive tackle on this team. And I thought Collins, I watched a little bit of him, had an abysmal year, an abysmal season. I think it was up and down because he had a nice couple pass rush moves, no question about it. But when late in the year, the opposition just said, go at 99. And 99's like, come on in, baby, let's do this.
They asked so much of him. And I'm not going to say he played well in the run game. There were reps he played well for the most part. He's not a consistent run defender. that's just not really what he's ever done in his career. And he's 30. He's played in the NFL a long time. It's hard to ask him to be an all-around player when there's not a lot of help around him. I'm not going to say, I don't think he played well in the run game this year. No. I do think as a pass rusher, he was pretty impressive at times. Again, not consistently, but again, there's not much else. And I would disagree that he had a terrible year.
Okay. We can agree to disagree on that. I thought he had a brutal year. You didn't. And we move forward. This is actually a significant question here. If Garendo's knee injury is significant, and I think we have every reason to believe right now, every reason to hope not, but every reason to believe right now it is significant. They got a real issue at running back, I would argue.
Yep.
I would not go back to Patrick Taylor, personally.
They got Mason as a free agent. Whatever Christian McCaffrey's got left.
Yeah.
And they got to pray that Garendo's MCL is like a sprain that he can rehab and be back, not something that's surgical and like a 6 month, whatever timeline.
I think they were I think they were already in the market for like a late round running back. That might have to move up a smidge.
It's a problem.
Have to be third or fourth round again. I know I just said third round running back for the Niners.
They can tender Mason, but it is expensive.
Yeah.
It does get expensive.
No one's going to be trading for him. So, or signing him. Like, they can throw a big tender on him. Oh, we put a second round tender on Jordan Mason, and the rest of the league will be like, okay, cool. Now you have to pay him like that. So there it is. I want to make something very Cam Scatabo is a fun college football player. Hope the best for him at the NFL level. Y'all seem to have a very fundamental misunderstanding of what a fullback does in the Kyle Shanahan offense, because there has been a lot. And listen, I go on Larry's show, respect the hell out of Larry, love going on a show, love the conversation. But his willy-nilliness towards throwing random people at fullback shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the versatility requisite to play that position. Best exemplified today by his fake block into the B gap and then comes out on the wheel route. Like, it's those little things that are very deft and very difficult. And I'm not saying that Kyle Juszczyk did very well at them this year, certainly compared to in prior years. But the idea that there's somebody else out there who can play six positions the way that he does and do it at a reasonably high level at this juncture is just sort of laughable. Oh, we'll go get Cam Scatabo, you know, whatever the hell you pronounce his name. We're going to go get Captain Neckbeard from Sacramento, and we'll just teach him how to play fullback in Kyle's system as if it doesn't require a master's degree in Shanahanomics to get done. Like, it's absolutely laughable. And it's why I think Juice comes back, even though he's somebody who they could reasonably move on from fiscally with the post June 1 designation. I think they would save like $4 or $5 million. I don't think that they can get that. So they'd lose the position. You lose Kyle Juszczyk, you lose the position of fullback because no one can just take on that role. They can play H-back. That's a different job. So,
yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I think the reality is they need some sort of running back, and it's suddenly, yeah. I don't know where it is in the priority list. But you could honestly go through every position, and it used to be for last year and the year before, you would have like a handful of positions. You're like, all right, they could go here. You can kind of do whatever you want. Now they're like, they've got needs absolutely everywhere.
Well, you want to list them off real fast? I mean, I can just tell me if any of the, you disagree with any of these. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to need a running back. They're going to need two new tight ends to back up George Kittle.
You got to draft the tight end and get it right.
That's right. And probably sign one too. You're going to need a new left guard and preferably a new center. Probably one additional tackle beyond Jalen Moore. Is that fair?
Yep.
You're going to need a wide receiver because Jacob Cowing ain't it.
You got Jennings. I guess you keep Debo.
I think Debo sticks. I really do. I don't agree with it, but I think he sticks.
Pearsall's your number one starting next year.
Starting next year with Ayuk then coming in. Jennings, I think you
bring you get back some sort of theoretically healthy Ayuk in the second half of the season with Pearsall.
There's something there. You're not worried about man-to-man anymore.
Yeah.
With Debo as a very highly paid punt returner and kick returner. You know, you're probably going to have to get another wide receiver in there. Defensive line, you need another D end, but you need like four tackles, yeah, minimum. You need multiple linebackers. You're going to need a solid depth corner, if not an opposite starter. And I think you need another safety on top of it. And oh, yeah, a punter and a kicker. But other than that, I think the roster's in good shape, Jake.
Yeah, safety is suddenly like a major concern because Jair, man, I like Jair.
It's not,
but he hasn't shown it. It's been a really, really bad year for him. And that's brutal. I think Mustafa's been great, but he's been hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Packing a punch above his weight, but you don't have any other real options at safety. Like, you gotta dip into that well again. So you've got 10 draft picks and you're gonna say that's not enough. Genuinely.
Yeah, well, they'll have some money to spend. I do think that that's a misnomer with the Brock deal. Like, there's gonna be some money to spend there.
Yep.
Okay, Kenny Powers is coming in saying all this stuff. I know that people talk about stuff on Larry. There's no report that Nick Sorensen is out. That can come tomorrow. It can come later tonight. There is nothing out right now that says Nick Sorensen is out. Jake and I would know about it. That's,
well, here's the reality. Like yeah. Shanahan, that wouldn't happen because Shanahan like literally has to go through and talk to players, talk to coaches.
Right.
And they're pretty good about waiting until, and even if people know, like waiting until that's actually been the decision made. And why would you fire him unless you're, I don't know. I think they should fire him.
Then maybe they could do a Giants and they reassign him in the organization, something to that effect. I don't know. But let's get our media literacy up here, folks. Just because someone talks about something on a podcast doesn't make it so. And that's correct. Called wish casting or wishful thinking. We do it a lot on this show. We'll be very keen to separate it out as to not trying to report it as anything. It's very frustrating. I hate that shit.
I know.
All right. What do we need to touch on? What do we have? What's in the tank?
There's some questions. I think we answered what's a bigger need, defense tackle or O-line. We already did that.
That's right.
It is all shout out Kawachipto for being the first one in here. Just being in the sicko waiting room. It's draft season and we're working on some stuff. I think not this week,
begun.
But the week after, things happening. I think this is a great question I wanted to get to. I think they've been pretty poor with their free agent signings. Overwhelmingly, like, you look at Van Ginkle, as you talked about, and it's just, and I know he's operating a different system where he wouldn't be used the same way here, but he's still an all around fantastic player. And you spent quite a bit of money on Gross Matos, who has something to him. He's not a bad player.
It's a lot of money.
Floyd, but it's a decent amount of money on both those guys. So
listen, they got Charvarius Ward in 2022. That was a good signing. But like Hassan Ridgeway and George Odom and Jordan Willis. And I'm just going through the 2022 free agent. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
They brought back Dante Johnson for the 14th time.
Their free agency work has been
wonky.
Pretty rough.
Yeah. I just want to pull up 2020. Like, we know the draft. The draft has been terrible. The draft got progressively worse, by the way. Because, like, there was a point where I'm like, well, you know, Moody and Jair Brown count as positive. Well, that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
It's like Brock Purdy and nobody else for three drafts.
Yeah.
Lenore. brutal. It's brutal. And that's what happened. Here's what happened to this team. They were consistently poached of their depth in both the front office and the coaching ranks and on their roster. And that happened year after year after year as this team played 1 month or more longer than everybody else. And they didn't draft well, and they didn't spend their money well. And this is what happens when luck doesn't go your way. It went their way in 2023. They had a very top-heavy roster, but they didn't get injured. And their very top-heavy roster played awesome. And everyone kicked ass. And they went to the Super Bowl. And this year,
yeah,
all of those guys got injured. And then it's like, hey, hope we had a good draft class because we're playing all of those guys. And it's like, yeah, you kind of did. Good job. But every other player that you had drafted, the guys who are depth are guys who are typically on rookie contracts. All of them sucked, except for the guys you drafted this year. So
it's been pretty brutal, and that's put them in the situation now where they have to go and find starters and players right away. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of a 2-year, mini 3-year. Kind of, because this year is kind of year one of a mini rebuild.
Yes.
And then next year you have to add to that. We'll see where they're at. But I have trouble. They're gonna have to thread the needle. Luckily, the NFC is wide open, so you don't have to fill every single need to get back to being competitive. But you do have to reevaluate a little bit of your scheme. You do have to add just some sort of presence on the interior of both of your lines.
Yep.
And you need to get more athletic.
And I think that's something that can be done. But, like, everything that went wrong for this team this season, that's how many things have to go right this offseason. Because they have to do, and I'll put a number on it, they have to do 3 off seasons, or maybe if I'm being generous, 2 off seasons in one. They got to nail 2 years worth of stuff in one. That means you have to double. You had 4 good draft picks this year. You have to have 8. You had, 5 good free agent signings ever. You got to have 5 in 1 year.
We got to look into that, because the free agency stuff has been so, it's been mind-bogglingly poor. Like, they just can't seem, and they usually are good in trades. The Khalil Davis one is still, I still can't wrap my head around that at all.
I think there's no better theory than they were just trying to placate us
and just keep their streak alive of having made a trade at every deadline since, I think, 2018.
Look at us, we're doing stuff. You can't, Jake, how many of these people out here doing this 49ers media game are actually, like, taking the time to pull up NFL Pro and watch Khalil Davis film on Halloween?
I watched so much Khalil Davis film, I know. Disgusted.
You and I
myself.
Both, my friend. And I'm just
like,
saying,
I don't see anything.
I can see why they traded this guy.
I was like, oh, he is occasionally, like all of the 49ers defensive tackles for the most part, it's like, oh, that was... Actually, no, it was worse. It was like, at least, like, Jordan Elliott, I think, has been pretty bad. But he is, like, times where you go, oh,
yeah,
that
he's
was impressive. And then
flashes.
The next play is a nightmare. But, like, he really does have flashes. With Khalil Davis, it was like, man.
What is it you do?
He's been in the league for, like, 4 or 5 years and tested well out of Nebraska. Why are we trading picks for?
My point is merely, they thought they could get away with it.
It was that it was evidence that they don't understand what they need at the defensive tackle position. It's all about, like, shooting up field and attack.
No. They think they need that. They think that's the difference. That's not
You need wrong. A big fucking dude in there. You need a big boy who can hold up and put two hands up and say, I'm going to stand here and not get destroyed. That's it.
War daddy. They need a war daddy. They haven't had one since DeForest Buckner, and they have had ample opportunity to get the job done. To say that Khalil Davis is a Jag is probably overstating it. I don't think he's even a guy, much less just a guy.
Yeah.
He's a human. I'm sure that he has, you know, emotions and feelings and responsibilities.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to demean his humanity here. But like,
you know what I'm going to have to do, Dieter? I'm going to have to break out my horrifying spreadsheet where I graded. No. I went, what I did a couple years ago, I went through the entire NFC West and I graded their drafts. I graded their drafts. I created a system for evaluating their picks where I would heavily weight first rounders and then decrease as it goes. And you basically only get credit for hitting on like seventh or late sixth rounders. You don't get dinged very much for missing at a certain point. But I'm going to do that again.
The true Dieter and Jake scale.
I'm going to do it again.
Nailed a seventh rounder, it's worth 50x when the first rounder is.
Like if you get an all pro in the seventh round as like Brock Purdy, like if you get a Brock Purdy, it actually doesn't count that much because you're just taking a spin of the wheel.
Right.
Like you actually don't get that much credit. You get a little.
Fundamentally, isn't it all just, I mean, especially with this team, isn't it all just a spin of the wheel? Like what's the point of
it? Isn't life just a spin of the wheel, brother?
No, I'm just saying like when you're this bad at drafting early, isn't it more advisable to just, this is the Rams' entire model, right? They figured out that they kind of sucked at first rounders, so they're like, we're not doing that again.
Right. And then they're just assigning emojis to players now. Did you read that? It was like Jordan Rodriguez out of The Athletic, like wrote a piece where they like let her in the draft room. And she's like, yeah, they use like emojis to assign, like if a player's like rising, we're going to have our own draft guide if we can get our shit together.
I know. We're gonna do it, and we're gonna sell it to people for currency. God bless us. We're gonna be. If this didn't break us, the goddamn draft.
The draft will.
It's a great defensive tackle draft. It's a great offensive line draft. At least at the top.
We're starting with the spine. God, I keep knocking. Draft just gets me so riled up. The end of this season just gets me. Dieter he's so overcome with emotion that he cannot breathe. Just thinking about the glory of watching defensive tackles.
Jake and chiropractors across America, we're starting with the spine.
We're starting with the spine, folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to be attacking the interior. We're handling. I don't want no C gaps allowed. B and A only.
We're running ISO. We're running ISO every goddamn play next year. We're running up the middle. We're running
opposite
duo
of Tyreek Hill's taste in Instagram models.
Dieter, we are running duo. We are running ISO. We are running power. And occasionally, we'll run some gap stuff. Occasionally, when we get it, when we've earned all of it,
yeah,
we'll get to run outside zone.
From your lips to God's ears. if we're talking defensive tackles, I'll give you, listen, our man Jeff's coming through. He's saying, you know, obviously Mason Graham is the top prospect. I haven't even hit that stuff yet. Derek Harmon, very popular. I was just at the Rose Bowl. Didn't notice him much. So that's fun. I'll say this. Walter Nolan. If you're not comfortable with him at 11, start getting comfortable with him at 11, because that son of a bitch is going to Indianapolis, and he going to break it.
He's going to test off the charts. You're higher on him than me. We'll get into all of these guys. I think I'm just going to start with defensive tackle this week and grind it.
This is so accurate. So I bought this ridiculous, it's a wind buff. Much like your mom's. I got it because I seen the, it's like the mix zone
Like, you just want to be on Sky Sports, yeah, is what you're doing.
Well, actually, what it's I did, Sky Sports, Mike. The reason I bought this is because I wanted to test out the actual thing. One, it looks funny. And two, I wanted to test it because I got to read the same guys who made the hat can do these. And so I'm like, oh, I want to get a feel for it beforehand, this and that. So, yeah, you're not wrong, but it looks funny. when did those sacks and the three tackles come? Was it when the game was still happening, which means the first 5 minutes of the game? So, yeah.
Dieter's cranky. Don't take it personally.
I'm just saying I expected a football game, and I got to watch Jeremiah Smith, which was awesome, but that's about
he
it.
He is
un-the-fucking-league.
The greatest player of all time.
Like, Jake, I'm not kidding. He might be the greatest player of all time. Start tanking for him now. That's a wide receiver who's going 1-1. I did no bong loads, nor keg stands. I did, however, fly in and out the day of and consume only 6 chicken wings and, like, a countless number of beers. Thanks to
brother.
Swedish Caffeine Snus.
We're not sponsored.
No.
But we might be.
By Vika Rave, Swedish Caffeine Snus, which is just straight to the temples, baby. That's 50 milligrams.
Dieter and Hutch, sponsored by something that is maybe worse than chewing tobacco.
Yeah, this is definitely worse than the nicotine addiction I once had. But my God. Vika Rave. By the way, can't buy this in the States. Got to get it directly from Sweden. Got the plug.
So you're doing well?
You want to know how 49ers season in a nutshell. Vika Rave. Caffeinated snus.
Oh, yeah. By the way, real quick, Jeff, this is where I'm at with Walter Nolan. Yeah. Super athletic, super freaky. But I don't trust him to do the two-gap thing we're talking about. I don't know if he's that fit there, but I'm just trying to get a freak athlete who can kind of do anything.
First off, baby steps. You think that Chris Kucerik's just going to be like, you know what? I do want a two-gapper. Go get me an Al Woods type. That's never going to happen. Second, I don't need him to control two gaps. I need him to control one gap. I need one defensive tackle on this team to control a singular gap. This is a one-gap system, 4 down linemen, even front. Just hold the gap. The issue that this team had is they had 2 defensive tackles who couldn't hold the one gap allotted to both of them. The A gap was always available because Jordan Elliott and Malik Collins were the saloon doors opening up on every play. Come on in.
Sort of by design, too, which is problematic.
Yeah, that's a real problem. It's happening.
We got draft stuff coming. It's coming. We'll get a locker room clean out tomorrow.
Who should we talk to tomorrow? Should we crowdsource who we need to
discuss? Some stuff in mind that I'm not going to podcast share, but I have some
fine
thoughts in mind.
Thought we had something.
Well, you do, just not on the
It's fine.
And then what is it? Is it going to be Wednesday? We'll talk to Shanahan and Lynch.
Is that later in the week? Is that the rumor?
I know tomorrow's locker room cleanout. I don't know if they just do shot chaser to put them on Tuesday.
I thought it would be Tuesday. It'd probably be Wednesday. They might move to Thursday. Who's to say? When do they want to fire Sorensen? You know,
we have no control.
That we know.
If they do end up doing that, I could see it getting later in the week.
They'll do it in a press conference on a phone call that changes time 14 different.
That's right. Well,
we'll need to talk to Hargrave tomorrow. He probably won't be around. Huff, he's on a concussion. Ward will be interesting. Yeah. Debo will be interesting. Banks would be interesting, but he probably won't be around.
Yeah.
I don't like talking to John Feliciano, if I'm being honest. Dre Greenlaw. Talk to him.
Yeah.
Jalen Moore. Probably won't be around. Why are we whispering?
I don't know why we're whispering, Dieter.
I don't know either. Let's call it. We're going to get in under an hour. All right.
Thank you, folks. Adios.
Bye.